Billy and I sat in the orchestra, about the 12th row, and half the faces in sight were well known to me. Whether Lamar could dance or not, she most assuredly was, or had, a good press agent. We were soon to receive an exemplification of at least a portion of the reputation that had preceded her. Many were the angry adjectives heaped on the head of the dancer on that memorable evening. Mrs. Frederick Marston, I remember, called her an insolent hussy. But then Mrs. Frederick Marston was never original. Others? Rash, impudent, saucy, impertinent, in each instance accompanied by threats. Indeed, it is little wonder if those people of fashion and wealth and position were indignant and sore, for they had dressed and dined hastily and come all the way downtown to see Lemire. They waited for her for 2 hours and a half in stuffy theater seats, and Lemire did not appear. The announcement was finally made by the manager of the theater at a little before 11 o'clock. He could not understand, he said. The poor fellow was on the point of wringing his hands with agitation and despair. He could not understand why the dancer did not arrive. She had rehearsed in the theater on the previous Thursday afternoon, and had then seemed to have every intention of fulfilling her engagement. No one connected with the theater had seen her since that time, but everything had gone smoothly. They had had no reason to fear such a contretemps as her non-appearance. They had sent to her hotel. She was gone, bag and baggage. She had departed on Friday, leaving no word as to her destination. They had asked the police, the hotels, the railroads, the steamship companies, and could find no trace of her. The manager only hoped, he hoped with all his heart, that his frank and unreserved explanation would appease his kind patrons and prevent their resentment, that they would understand. I made my way out of the theater as rapidly as possible, with Billy Dumont at my side, and started north on Broadway. My companion was laughing unrestrainedly. "What a joke!" he exclaimed. "And gad, what a woman! She comes in and turns the town upside down and then leaves it standing on its head. What wouldn't I give to know her?" I nodded, but said nothing. At 42nd Street we turned east to 5th Avenue, and a few minutes later were at the club. I took Dumont to a secluded corner of the grill, and there, with a bottle of wine between us, I spoke. "Billy," said I, "there's the deuce to pay. You're an old friend of mine, and you possess a share of discretion, and you've got to help me. Lemire is gone. I must find her." "Find Lemire?" He stared at me in amazement. "What for?" "Because my brother Harry is with her." Then I explained in as few words as possible, and I ended, I think, with something like this. "You know, Billy, there are very few things in the world I consider of any value. She can have the lad's money, and if necessary, my own into the bargain. But the name of Lemire must remain clean, and I tell you there is more than a name in danger. Whoever that woman touches, she kills. And Harry's only a boy." Billy helped me, as I knew he would. Nor did he insist on unnecessary details. I didn't need his assistance in the search, for I felt that I could accomplish that as well alone. But it was certainly known that Harry had been calling on Lemire at her hotel. Conjectures were sure to be made, leading to the assertions of busy tongues, and it was the part of my friend to counteract and smother the inevitable gossip. This he promised to do, and I knew Billy. As for finding Harry, it was too late to do anything that night, and I went home and to bed. The next morning I began by calling at her hotel, but though the manager of the theater had gotten no information from them, he had pumped them dry. They knew nothing. I dared not go to the police, and probably they would have been unable to give me any assistance if I had sought it. The only other possible source of information I disliked to use, but after racking my brain for the better part of the day, I decided that there was nothing else for it and started on a round of the ticket offices of the railroads and steamship companies. I had immediate success. My first call was at the office where Harry and I were accustomed to arrange our transportation. As I entered, the head clerk, or whatever they call him, advanced to greet me with a smile. "Yes," he said in response to my question. "Mr. Lemar got his tickets from me. Let's see. Thursday, wasn't it? No, Friday. That's right, Friday." "Tickets," I muttered to myself. And in my preoccupation, I really neglected to listen to him. Then aloud, "Where were the tickets for?"
"Denver."
"For Friday's train?"
"Yes, the Western Express."
That was all I wanted to know. I hurried home, procured a couple of hastily packed bags, and took the afternoon train for the West.